You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Mr. Speaker!
Mr. Speaker, can I have
this is State News and Views with State Senator Charlita Tavares. State news and views that our people can use inside the legislature, going from Main Street to the State House. You will hear it first right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are once again on State News and Views on Talktainment Radio, radio the way it should be heard. And I have two guests with me this evening. I've got Greg Jefferson, who is the president and CEO of Community for New Direction, who is on the line. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Charlita.
Good to see you, or good to talk to you anyway. Can't see you right now. I'm looking at your picture with a little bio background. And then here in the studio, we have Ray Miller, former state senator, now publisher, founder and publisher of the Columbus African American News Journal. Greg is the president and CEO of Community for New Direction, and we're here to talk about minority health, substance use, addiction services, expansion of Medicaid, as well as the importance of African American media in education, advocacy, and action. So welcome, gentlemen, and I'm glad that you could join us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Greg, how you doing?
Good. Good to hear from you, Ray.
Good. Community for New Directions is one of the finest agencies in the city of Columbus, and Greg and his whole staff, John Dawson and all the folks, they just do a tremendous job helping our young people in the city of Columbus. So, Greg, you know I'm a big fan of all the work that you do. I know you have a college fair this upcoming, as probably as well as planning your annual meeting.
Yes, we do. Actually, we're leaving Sunday night. We're taking 35 Columbus City high school students, and we're going to go on a college tour during the week of spring break. We're going to visit at least six colleges. Our first stop is Atlanta, and then we're going to spend 3 days in Orlando. The kids will get a chance to go to Disneyland. I'm not sure if it's Disneyland or Disney World. I always get the two mixed up. But we've got an educational program planned for them, a half-day educational program planned for them at Disney while they're in Orlando. And then they'll also get a chance to visit the theme parks. And so we're excited about getting ready. The kids are excited, and their parents are excited, too.
That's awesome. I wish I could go. I can't even go to Coshocton.
Yeah, you just ride some of those fun rides for me, Greg.
Yeah. Well, you know, the goal is we want to, you know, build some recreation and fun activities in it. But really the goal is to break down the barriers for secondary education for our kids. And we're going to visit HBCU universities. We're going to visit traditional universities. We want our kids to be prepared. We want them to understand the academic requirements and the financial requirements, as well as the testing requirements for getting access to a college and university.
Very good. Well, Greg, you know, one of the components of Community for New Direction is certainly the college tour and the educational component to ensure that our young people go on to higher education. But another aspect of the work that you do centers around prevention services, drug, alcohol, substance use disorders, and to ensure that we are discouraging our young people. Can you talk a little bit more about the work that you're doing there?
Sure. Community for New Direction is Franklin County's largest prevention-only provider. And by prevention, what I'm referring to is alcohol, tobacco, other drug, and violence prevention. We provide services in three areas, one through a summer day camp. We have a six-week summer day camp that serves youth 5 through 14, and we talk about the harmful effects and the dangers of alcohol, tobacco, and the use of violence, but we also build in recreational, educational, and cultural activities for that. The other areas that we provide prevention services are for in-school and after-school. In terms of our in-school services, we're in Columbus City Schools. We're in, I think, 18 sites this year. We're also in Reynoldsburg, two Reynoldsburg City Schools, the high school and the middle school.
And we have a lot of young African-Americans in the Reynoldsburg schools today.
We do, we do. And what we provide there, we have an anti-bully violence prevention curriculum. It's called Young Ambassadors for Peace. We call it YAP for short. And it's a 9-week curriculum that we run, probably 8 to 15. It's done in small group setting. And the goal is to run enough kids in that particular school through the 9-week curriculum. So by the end of the year, we've changed the culture and the climate of the school so that bullying and violence is unacceptable.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we also have after-school programs. That's the other area that we do our alcohol and drug prevention services. And we do after-school at our East office at 993 East Main Street. We do provide after-school services at our West office at 2096 West Mound. And then we have a South location down Southwood Christian Church where we use their space to provide alcohol and drug prevention after-school services. Mm-hmm. And all of our services are free. They're supported by the Adam Board of Franklin County and also by the after-school fund through the City of Columbus.
Right. You know, what I like about what you do, Greg, is your seriousness about it. And prevention really is the key. You know, I try to speak in the prisons as much as I can, and sometimes even criticized for doing so, because people say, well, why would you talk to the fellas in the prisons when my daughter is out here trying to do the right thing, graduated from a college that's reputable or whatever? And I think we can have enough love in our heart for both that we can deal with those who have made a mistake in their lives as well as those who are doing the right thing. And so prevention is really the key. Because 80-85% of the young men and women who are incarcerated are there on a drug-related charge. And if they had not been involved in drug activity or addicted to drugs, in all likelihood, they wouldn't be incarcerated. It's all related to that, as we all know.
And that's why prevention, and you said you're the largest prevention program in Franklin County, it's critical that people pay attention to what you're doing and why it's so important to do it on the front end so that we don't have these young people ending up in the youth corrections facility and then into the adult corrections facility.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you so much, Senator Miller. You know, I used to work in the juvenile prison system for 15 years. And when I saw an opportunity to get back into the community to try to work with young people to keep them from getting into that system, I took advantage of it. And I've been, you know, it's been one of the best decisions I've made. I've been here at Community for a New Direction for the past 9 years. And really, that's our goal. We're trying to save lives and keep our kids from entering into the juvenile justice system. And then even more, we're trying to get them to stay in school, graduate high school, and get a college degree.
Right. And the thing on the college that's so important in terms of what you're doing is I have found that a number of our young people have real issues with regard to racial identity. And when we can get our young people exposed to the historically black colleges and universities, where you know they're going to get the proper grounding, where they have professors who are going to pour that into them, where you have rich history in terms of the involvement, the history of African Americans in the United States of America, there's nothing that's more important, just because so many of these young people today aren't quite sure, you know, who they are, how they fit in and so forth. And so in our black colleges and universities, it's all around you. You're with people, you know, of your own race, ethnicity, and having professors and leaders there who are pouring it into you, as I said before, to make sure that you know who you are and what your responsibilities are back to your people.
Yeah, and Greg, you know that in my other life, I work closely with you, and one of the things we're trying to get people to understand that it is important to understand a person's culture, to understand right. a person's race, and all the history that goes along with that so that we can feel good about ourselves, we can feel great about ourselves, and it keeps us positive and out of those negative activities.
Right.
Absolutely. I agree with you both 100%. You know, I'm a product of HBCU, Fisk University, and I see the impact that visiting HBCU makes on our kids. Many of our kids may not. They come from families where no one has either graduated from high school and certainly not from college. They're the first in their families to even think about going on getting a secondary education. And when we visit HBCUs, they learn about their history,
right.
the history of the schools, how the schools were created right after the Civil War mm-hmm. to help educate African Americans. And the big impact is they see students looking just like them walking across the campus. And for many of them, that's the first time that the light bulb comes on that, hey, this could actually be me next year.
Right, right. Somebody told me, Greg, that you graduated from Fisk right after the Civil War.
Greg, yeah, you can't take that.
I'm getting up there, so I got a senior discount at lunch today. Yeah.
Cash it in, brother.
Yeah.
Well, I believe very, very strongly that exposure to HBCUs is probably one of the things I wish we could require of those of us of African descent, because some of us who grew up and went to schools that were predominantly Caucasian needed that exposure, needed that experience to see our people in leadership positions and high positions within education institutions, and as Senator Miller said, really pouring the history into us mm-hmm. and seeing students that look just like us, you know, masses of students that look like us, and we're going into all fields within, mm-hmm. You know, the work arena, the career paths. And so it did something to me as a young person. It really made me stand up taller, and certainly I was more proud of my people. And I happened to be at Spelman when Maynard Jackson was the mayor of Atlanta. So that made a difference as well, to have leaders, strong African-American leaders that were building up their community,
right.
ensuring that their businesses were growing, that more businesses were being created of African-Americans. That makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. And I'm glad you touched on the business side of things, because, you know, that's just so important for us today. Government is not going to be the end all for us in terms of employment and business opportunities. We've got to really look at the private sector. And if you have people who understand that, when they look at the numbers, when they look at the structure of things, they're asking those right questions. How many are African American in terms of your customer base, or what percentage of your contracts are being awarded to African Americans? You know, all of the fundamental questions that you and I and Greg and others ask our young people today don't know that they're supposed to ask those questions. So when they sit at the table, oftentimes they are no different than the European. They are absolutely no different in terms of the questions that they ask, what they're advocating for, and there's not much that they're advocating for. So the black colleges play a role there, but we've also got to play a role. That's why I have the Progressive Leadership Academy, so that we can pour into them, so that we can inundate them almost with these kinds of examples and that kind of thinking, so that they know that when they walk in that room, they have a responsibility not just for themselves in terms of whatever they might get, but more importantly, the responsibility they have for lifting the race.
Absolutely. And Greg, you are starting early with our young people, pouring that history and that opportunity to go to a historically black college, but also ensuring that they stay on the right track. And I do want to talk more about business, more about advocacy for African Americans when we go into our third segment, but we have a few more minutes in this segment that I want to talk more about healthcare and minority health. Tomorrow is the kickoff of the Ohio Commission on Minority Health's Minority Health Month, which is April. And Senator, I know you are well versed in that since you were the creator of the Ohio Commission on Minority Health. Why don't you talk about the importance of this month-long celebration.
Right. I get really excited about it. And, of course, when you think about Angela Cornelius Dawson, you get excited just because of the energy that she brings.
Absolutely.
And so she is now the director of the Ohio Commission on Minority Health. And as you stated, the kickoff is tomorrow. They have events all over the state of Ohio that focus on prevention and education in large measure and gives us an opportunity to put a little money in those agencies so that they can do good work on the preventive side, on the educational side, various interventions for people so that they can understand the critical importance of taking care of themselves better. Whether you're dealing with diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure,
infomortality.
Being overweight, infomortality, all of those issues are being highlighted during the course of this month. Bringing in experts from in the state, from outside of the state, it's just a real important month for us in terms of lifting up those issues around our health. When you look at life expectancy, unfortunately, African Americans are at the bottom end of the ladder, if you will, with respect to life expectancy, and African American men in particular. So African American men live to be, on average, 64 years old. We don't even live long enough to get Social Security. And then African-American women are around 72, 74 years old, I believe now. Then you move all the way up to white women living the longest and almost now at age 80. So there's a huge gap between those at the highest end and African-American men at the lower end. And it's because we're not taking care of ourselves. We're not taking the medications sometimes that are necessary. But more importantly, just taking care of your physical health on the front end.
And it also has a lot to do with access to healthcare and racism in the healthcare system.
Yes.
You know, not valuing the life of African American males and females as we value the lives of European individuals, making decisions about what kinds of treatment we're going to give the African American patient versus the European patient. And in some cases, unconsciously making those decisions.
Right. And the work that you're doing in the legislature right now on the expansion of Medicaid is so very important. It's interesting to see you and the governor on the same side on this issue, by the way.
I know. That is interesting.
And so it's a good thing.
It is.
That the governor understands the need to make Medicaid available to a broader number of people, all the way up to 138% of poverty. And I know that you've been working on that. The Legislative Black Caucus has been working on that issue. We have to understand that we got to provide health insurance, if you will, health care to our children as well as adults throughout the state of Ohio.
And we're going to talk more about Medicaid expansion, health disparities, prevention coming up next.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is now more listener-friendly. We've categorized the programs that air on TalkTainment Radio.
Friday, comedy and Showtime entertainment.
Classic television theater.
Reverend Peterman, uncensored.
Brown sugar on sports.
Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and click on programs for times and podcasts. Click Listen Live for current programs being aired. We are the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. Food for thought.
In 2004, the National Center for Urban Solutions founded the African American Male Wellness Walk Initiative in response to a healthcare crisis in the black community. African American males were and still are dying from preventable illnesses at earlier ages and at higher rates than any other ethnic group. Planning is underway for the 9th Annual African American Male Wellness Walk. This is one of several health and wellness events scheduled throughout 2013. Conversations will be held to understand the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and the 3rd annual golf tournament is planned. For more information about these events and the African American Male Wellness Walk and Initiative, continue to listen to TalkTainmentRadio.com or call 614-754-7511.
That's another Food for Thought. To hear additional Food for Thought, stay tuned to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure. What's wrong?
I'm in trouble at school because I've been reported for bullying.
Why are you bullying?
I was bullied last year and no one helped me, and I didn't tell.
But you should have told. Terrible says it's okay to tell.
Yes, but now I have to tell my parents and I don't know how.
You have the trust coin, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, you show them the coin, they will always listen.
Yes, you are right. And then I'll also tell them I was bullied too. Thanks.
You're welcome.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are on State News and Views on Talktainment Radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And with me in the studio, I have State Senator Ray Miller, founder and publisher of the Columbus African American News Journal. And on the line, I have Greg Jefferson, the president and CEO of Community for New Direction. Greg and Ray, we were talking before the break about the expansion of Medicaid, and certainly the governor and I are on the same page that it makes sense to expand so more people will be covered. Greg, you know, we want to talk about, you know, expansion of Medicaid and what that means to behavioral health services. And my concern that emphasis is placed on prevention and not just treatment. Any discussions that you're having with your colleagues throughout the state of Ohio?
Well, sure. Particularly here in Franklin County, we're meeting, trying to understand how this may all impact us as prevention providers. And we certainly don't want to be left out. We know that our constituent is really the most needy group, and we're hoping that this expansion will include the services that we're currently providing to youth and to young adults.
And that it's a billable service under Medicaid.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And on that point, and I know that Senator Miller, once again, is an expert on the drug, alcohol, and mental health services, having created the Ohio Department of Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services, which, and he also was the one of the joint sponsors of the Mental Health Reform Act of 1988 that really changed the way we delivered services from a hospital-focused to a community-based focused effort in the state of Ohio. And now we're going to combine those two departments into one. So I want to start with you, Senator Miller, on your thoughts about the integration of addiction services and mental health.
I don't like the integration of mental health with the Department of Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services. We had them together at one point in time. I can't remember what year it was, but we separated them for a reason so that we could have a clear focus on those with alcohol, drug addiction related issues as opposed to mental health. I think there's a very distinct difference. Now, there could be individuals, obviously, who
Duly diagnosed.
I mean, dealing with both areas. But I think we're better off when we separate those two agencies. You mentioned a number of things that I've been involved in. The last thing was for about the last 6 years, I introduced legislation to create a separate Department of Medicaid. And finally, I see there's a Medicaid office, if you will, a division that's been established within state government. And I think that will benefit us as well, that we don't have all of our health care combined with workforce development and unemployment comp and all those things in one big giant agency, the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services. So taking health care out in the long run, I think in the short term,
health care financing.
That's right. We're going to have some issues that have to be worked out in the short term. But I think in the long term, we'll be better off by having a separate focus then on health care financing. Yes.
And so what are your thoughts about the combining of the addiction services, mental health, and physical health into a single department?
Don't like it. There's been cooperation. I think governors come in sometimes and they just feel they need to restructure government. And they did the same thing with the Department of Jobs and Family Services. There was no reason to combine those all of the functions that they put into that one department into an agency that was close to $20 billion. It was just unbelievably large and dysfunctional. And so I think we would find the same thing if we had alcohol, drug addiction, and mental health all together. It doesn't help us. It just doesn't help us in terms of our ability to focus on each one of those areas.
Greg, any ideas or thoughts coming out of the Franklin County community, specifically on the whole integration piece of drug and alcohol with mental health, and then further on this issue around the financing of prevention services and other services for some of our smaller agencies? Because that's another concern that many of us have.
Yes, many of us do have concerns. We've been concerned when the talk first began about integration of the two agencies. As an organization that's funded through, has been funded through ODATIS and now receives funds through the new merged organization, there have been regular updates of information. We've got our fingers crossed, and we hope that we won't get lost in the shuffle. But that, again, that is a big concern. We've been getting regular updates. So as of right now, I can't complain about anything. The former director of ODATIS sends out regular updates. Tracy Clark, the director of ODMH, also sending out updates to us. So we're just very hopeful that in this, when it all dies down and the transition is complete, that we will still have a voice at the table, and that prevention will have a place at the table.
Now, one of the areas, Greg, that most people are not talking about, and I've been on several conference calls in my hat as executive director of the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence with SAMHSA. I serve, and I know that Senator Miller previously served as a member of Region 5's Regional Health Equity Council. And I've been on a conference call with SAMHSA's Office of Community and Faith Initiatives. And this whole movement to Medicaid and expanding Medicaid, that many of the dollars that used to come directly to organization, SAMHSA grants, HHS grants, are now going to be through the Medicaid dollars. So those dollars that many organizations used to apply for various services, whether they're prevention, whether they're treatment, whether they're outreach, whatever the case may be, they may now go to Medicaid. And the concern is that smaller nonprofit service delivery organizations will not have the ability to bill Medicaid because it's a totally different system. I think you are either already a Medicaid provider or you're finishing up getting that certification, if I'm not mistaken, Greg.
Well, we've been just recently approved by the state of Ohio to provide outpatient services, and we've submitted our application and should be approved to bill for Medicaid within the next 60 days. So we're one of the small organizations that is ahead of the curve.
Good.
In terms of the changes that are coming. But I do have concerns about the other smaller organizations who who are, you know, certainly have budgets under $1 million and under $500,000, that this could severely impact their ability to continue to provide services at the at the community level.
You know, one of the things that we used to do more of, and I think we have to get back to it, is having community forums. I mean, major community forums like the one that Attorney Byron Potts and the Kappa Foundation and others, the Iron Men and Oakley Baptist Church.
And Talktainment Radio.
And Talktainment Radio had, and Kahari, by the way, did an incredible job facilitating that gun violence forum. That was a very important forum, well attended, good recommendations that came out of it. And I think in this Medicaid area, and Greg, you know, you could comment on this if you think I'm on target, agencies oftentimes get information, it kind of filters down. The state agencies, you know, big agencies on Broad Street, on the 31st floor, they got all the information in the world. Then it filters down the agencies. They have information, but the people need to know. See, the people really need to know what all the changes are. And I know that through the agencies, local agencies, they get information, obviously, when they come in for services. But I think there'd be some value in having broad discussion, just like having a transparent discussion of what's taking place in the Columbus public school system. There hasn't been a community forum, in my opinion, that's not staged.
That's correct.
Yeah, so we need to have a real forum put on by the Columbus community to look at education, to look at where we are with within the system, to look at what kind of superintendent we want to see, the people want to see, and so forth. And so, Greg, do you think that kind of forum might be necessary in the Medicaid area, in the healthcare area?
Oh, I think that would be extremely helpful, particularly as we go through this transition process, because none of us, in terms of service providers, are fully aware of what everything's going to look like. And so we're kind of up in the air. So right. A sharing of information would be great. Yes, right. Absolutely.
Well, I think that's an area that certainly I can help with as your state senator, that we can facilitate. And then with my partnership with Talktainment Radio, to have them as a partner, the Columbus African American News Journal, the Franklin County Adam H. Board, I think they would be a wonderful partner to have, so that we could provide the information to the providers and the community as a whole.
Yes.
You know, what does the Affordable Care Act mean for us, and how is that going to change service delivery? How is it going to change the way payments are made? And what is the impact on our community specifically?
Right. And the Columbus Area Chamber of Commerce, African American Chamber of Commerce, could also be a partner in this, because that whole Medicaid expansion has an awful lot to do with employment and economic development in a broad sense.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've just outlined our next step, that we do have to organize this. And I also believe that this is something, and I know it is, something that HHS, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the National Partnership for Action, which is a part of the Office of Minority Health at this federal level, that they are working to educate communities of color and especially our community-based organizations so that they don't get lost in the expansion of Medicaid because they can't bill to provide the services that are specific, culturally and linguistically appropriate for the populations that need the services.
Yeah. See, a good thing about doing forums is we have so many people who are flat out brilliant, you know, African Americans who are so knowledgeable in each one of these areas at the city, state, and national level. And let me just put a pin in that for a second, because somebody said to me, well, maybe the president of the United States, President Obama, hasn't appointed African Americans to the cabinet because, you know, nobody's qualified. I started to strangle them. I just wanted to choke them.
Yeah, we've got more than enough qualified African-Americans for any and every position within the federal government, the state government, or the local government.
Amen, amen, and always have had.
Absolutely.
And so, any event, back to the forum. There are people who could come and share timely, accurate information. And I think we ought to just go ahead and do that.
I agree. Well, we've got many of the partners sitting right here in this room or on the phone, and we shall take that as a action step.
And we got the master facilitator, Kahari Inaharu, who knows how to put it all together.
That's exactly right. And keep everybody on track and on time.
The man.
That's exactly.
Mr. Talktainment Radio.
.com.
All right.
Well, I want to give Greg an opportunity to share any more information about website, phone numbers. It's too late for this year's college tour for young people, but why don't you give that information before we take our next break?
Sure, sure. Our website is www.cndonline.org. You can visit our website. We've got a brand new website, just reformatted last year. You can click on it, all the information about college tours, summer day camp, all the services and programs that we offer. There's also a phone number on the website. Our email address is there. You can contact us. We'd be happy to respond to any inquiries.
When's your annual meeting, Greg?
Annual meeting, we haven't set a date, but Scooney Penn, former OSU basketball standout and NBA basketball star, has agreed to be our keynote speaker this year, and we're looking for dates and trying to coordinate dates for September or October of this year. So we're really really excited about Scooney Penn being our keynote speaker this year.
Well, I'm just putting in a plug. I hope it's in October because every year I'm at a board meeting when you have your annual meeting.
Well, we're going to work on making sure it's in October.
Thank you. Yes, and that's a wonderful opportunity to give your donation and attend the annual meeting so that Community for New Direction will have those unrestricted resources to help young people in the community and their families.
Right. I've been to two. I've been to two, and Clark Kellogg did a tremendous job. Jack Hanna was incredible last year and doing a great job as a keynote speaker, and you're keeping the standard high and bringing in Scooney Penn, so I'll certainly be there.
Well, we thank them. You know, last year we raised $37,000, and we ended up spending $23,000 back in the community the same month that we raised the money. Mm-hmm. We bought $23,000 worth of Christmas gifts, hats, coats, shoes, and Christmas gifts for kids in our program that we knew would not have a Christmas. And we knew kids that we knew, because they come to our programs every day, who needed hats, coats, and school clothes. So, you know, hats off to Jack Hanna for helping us raise that money. And we're really, again, excited about Scooney Penn being our keynote speaker again this year. We operate from the premise we're just trying to give back to the community.
Yeah. You know, I used to slam with two hands, man, back when I was in the ninth grade. I mean, I had mad hops. Mad hops, baby.
Oh, wait a minute. They probably had the basket a little lower back then, too.
Yeah, I was going to crack a school wardrobe, but I said, oh, no, I'm not going to get centered in my life.
Well, I appreciate all the work that you're doing. I also want to put in a plug for the Minority Health Month activities, which start tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. It's from 9 until 2 p.m. It's free and open to the public, 77 South High Street, third floor lobby. There'll be screenings, food, demonstrations, etc. So join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. at the Vern Reif Center, 77 South High Street, third floor lobby. It's the 2013 Health Expo. And we will talk about that and more coming up next.
I disagree with the governor on this issue.
I agree with the governor on this issue.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is now more listener-friendly. We've categorized the programs that air on TalkTainment Radio.
Friday, comedy, and Showtime Entertainment.
Classic television theater.
Reverend Peterman, uncensored.
Brown sugar on sports.
Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and click on programs for times and podcasts. Click Listen Live for current programs being aired. We are the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. Food for thought.
In 2004, the National Center for Urban Solutions founded the African American Male Wellness Walk Initiative in response to a healthcare crisis in the black community. African American males were and still are dying from preventable illnesses at earlier ages and at higher rates than any other ethnic group. Planning is underway for the 9th annual African American Male Wellness Walk. This is one of several health and wellness events scheduled throughout 2013. Conversations will be held to understand the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and the third annual golf tournament is planned. For more information about these events and the African American Male Wellness Walk and Initiative, continue to listen to TalkTainmentRadio.com or call 614-754-7511.
That's another food for thought. To hear additional food for thought, stay tuned to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure. What's wrong?
I'm in trouble at school because I've been reported for bullying.
Why are you bullying?
I was bullied last year and no one helped me, and I didn't tell.
But you should have told. Terry says it's okay to tell.
Yes, but now I have to tell my parents and I don't know how.
You have the trust coin, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, you show them the coin, they will always listen.
Yes, you are right. And then I'll also tell them I was bullied too. Thanks.
You're welcome.
The women we love, the women who love us, they are dying. Heart disease is our number one killer, taking more lives than all forms of cancer combined. But we have the power to save those lives, our lives, because the greatest force for women is women. It's time to stand together, to fight harder, to shout louder. It's time to go red for women.
Saving energy saves you money. Whether you switch to Energy Star light bulbs, install Energy Star appliances, or add extra insulation. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I volunteer with United Way to help the homeless in my community learn computer skills and build a basic resume. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are on State News and Views. I've got on the line Greg Jefferson, who is the CEO of Community for New Direction here in the studio. I have State Senator and founder, publisher of the Columbus African American News Journal, Ray Miller. And we're going to be joined by Kahari Anaharo, who is a founder of TalkTainmentRadio.com. And we're going to be talking now about the impact and the importance of the African-American media on education, advocacy, and action for our community. We were talking about health care, disparities in health care, prevention, education, Medicaid expansion. But where does the information come from that comes from an African-American perspective?
From the Columbus African-American News Journal. I'm just really pleased that we're celebrating our second anniversary in April. And our black media has a long, rich history of educating our community, providing a forum for the discussion of issues, and providing it from a trusted source individuals who are strong advocates of the uplift of African-American people. We are lucky here in the city of Columbus to have a real giant. And sometimes when people are close to you, you don't have as much appreciation for them. But Amos Lynch, for many, many years at the Column Post, as well as when he started the Columbus Post newspaper, ensured that that paper was independent, that it was informing our community, that he was providing exposure and opportunities to me, to you, to so many other individuals in this city who certainly were not getting that kind of exposure in the Columbus Dispatch. Even going back to the Ohio Sentinel, which John Waddy has so many older copies in his office. Attorney John Waddy has hundreds and hundreds of copies of the old Ohio Sentinels. And I just love going through those because you see that they focused on health, that they focus on legal issues, that they provided opportunities for the exposure for our young kids in school and athletics and all of that, right? And so the print medium is so very important. It's the record. It's the historical record as opposed to simply having it electronically. The power of radio, I think we all know how awesome that is. And we don't have a TV station. That's another issue that we probably ought to talk about is community access amongst cable TV. But the media is so critically important. You take as an example, the Columbus Dispatch is ensuring that their perspective on the educational crisis, if you will, is being, I mean, it's being driven in every day in article after article after article. There are some valid points. I'm glad that they have raised the issues around absenteeism and how the kids' attendance was being counted and all of that. I think that's kind of commendable. I think that's good investigative journalism. But then there's some other issues you just wonder, now, whose agenda is that? Is that the people's agenda? Is that someone else's agenda? And so the press can drive public opinion. It can shape views and so forth. It can control people's thinking. And so that's the value of having an independent African-American-owned black press.
Kahari, give me your thoughts.
I think the struggle is always around our ability to remain visible. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm reminded is in the 50s, and Ray, I was right back there with you, in the 50s and in early 60s, we fought to be relevant. We fought to be visible.
Right.
And that's what's beginning to happen again. We're becoming invisible. I said it on a national forum during the election. Romney, no Obama, called our name anywhere. In fact, he's had five State of the Union addresses. I don't think one time has anything been mentioned even remotely black.
No.
Nor it just doesn't make any sense how people are being wiped away from the planet. We're being wiped out. We're not relevant. And the only thing that can keep us relevant, that's why we're fighting with the Bounce.
That's right.
A TV fight with Time Warner.
Right.
And Talktainment Radio and Ray's beautiful, man. He's got the best newspaper in town. There's
Thank
no question in Ohio. And that's one of the reasons why this fight is so important, because if we don't fight, we're done.
That's right.
We're done. And again, so we're just at that point.
Yeah. We've got to step up and educate the community, provide opportunities for the people to come out so that we can listen to them. Because just as we saw in that gun violence forum, the recommendations were
great,
diverse and outstanding. I mean, just like right on point. And if we do the kind of thing, Kahari, that you used to do regularly years ago.
With the forums.
Mm-hmm. With the, what did you call that? Like a black power kind of a.
Yeah, well, I used to. Oh, you're talking about the.
Black conventions.
Yeah, the local political conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And that was designed to do just that.
Right.
Create a mass movement at the local level to address our issues.
Right.
So that the people get organized in the communities and they bring it to the attention of not only the political powers, but we create new political powers.
Yes.
That's
the objective
exactly right.
was to take over the political infrastructure and then move the, you know, to infiltrate and at some point take over the economic infrastructure.
Right.
And that still should be our goal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because we don't see the people at the state house. We don't see the people at the city council, and you doggone sure don't see the people at the federal Congress, our people coming forth and advocating for the needs of our community. And so no matter how many African-American legislators you have in the state house, on the city councils, in the federal Congress, in the legislative bodies, if you don't have a demand and a backup of proposals that are being put forth to benefit our community, it's out of sight, out of mind.
You know, it almost seems as though many of our key people that we expected so much of are being targeted. I mean, I look at Jesse Jackson Jr. I mean, he did some, this stuff is real, it's kind of crazy. I look at Kwame Kilpatrick in Detroit, 31-year-old mayor, had the world in front of him, the young lady down in Florida. I look at what happened locally to Carlton and other people. But we don't get that other side out, and I saw what they tried to do to Ray. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get that other side of the story.
Right.
And
right.
if we had a strong black media, a lot of that stuff, because our media would be so strong and our people would be so well, we could back a lot of that stuff off of our folks.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. In our publication, you know, we're just really fortunate, really blessed to have contributing writers who do an excellent job. Again, we have so many brilliant people. So we have a medical column that's being presented. We have behavioral health on the mental health side that's being provided by Jackie Lyons Lewis. We have a political column being provided by Senator Tavares. And I mean, it's a first class publication. I'm working harder than I have ever worked in my whole life. Being a senator was a piece of cake compared to this. I mean, they are working me
Wait
something
a Remind
serious.
Me, Kahari, not to go into the publishing of a newspaper.
I can say amen. I'm here 7 days a week.
Oh, my goodness. You know me. I just stood up so proudly when I retired and said, oh, I'm going to start a newspaper. I didn't know what I was talking about. If I had a clue how much work this is. But, you know, now that I'm into it, I'm certainly not going to back out, and we're going to make it even better each year. And so it's a 40-page piece. It's full color. All the ads are full color. I mean, we're trying to provide information in a way that the reader has requested it, that it be provided to them in a substantive way with good critical analysis. And you're going to find us this year being even more hard-hitting than we have in the past. I think we've done a good job on the education information empowerment side, but it's time for us to step up more in terms of critical analysis on these key issues that we're talking about, on education, the education system, on Wilberforce University that's dying on the vine, on St. Paul AME Church that is up for foreclosure. I mean, it's just beyond me how we could get to a point with the oldest African-American owned, the oldest African-American church in the city of Columbus.
With a beautiful wellness center attached.
You know, I think we're all willing to do whatever is necessary. I think that's critically important. You can't criticize without saying, I'll help, right?
Right.
And I know that we're all willing to help, and many of us already have, you know, done our part.
Yes.
And I know how many times the city of Columbus and city council stepped in to be supportive, and my role when I was in the state legislature as well. But even now, people are willing to do whatever's necessary to help. But it never should have got to this point. I mean, just in terms of critical analysis, we can't sit back and see wrong and say nothing. And it doesn't make any difference who it is, whether it's an institution or whether it's an individual. If you're wrong, you're wrong, and it has to be addressed.
Absolutely. Kahari, you know, we talked earlier about having a forum on this whole healthcare piece, the expansion of Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, the disparities issue, similar to the gun issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is one more way that our local media, African-American media, can help us address the issues, but also educate people so that they can go in informed.
The African-American media has to do for us what the white media does for white people, what the Latino media does for Latinos, the Asian media does for Asian. And we cannot be afraid to stand up and say, we are reporting for black people.
Right.
We're reporting on black people. Chinese newspaper proudly shows you they speak in Chinese, they talk Chinese, they have no problems being Chinese. Same thing with Korea
and
all of that. And some all of them. Why not us?
Right.
What are we afraid of? And so I think that
particularly when our people are hurting and the disparate conditions in
every category.
Well, we bought into this post-racial nonsense, you know, as though race doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And if there's one reminder of race in America, get pulled over by the police in any city in America, and you are really rolling the dice as to whether or not you're going to get a nice little pat on the back and a, you know, thank you, sir, and all that kind of thing versus real embarrassment.
Well, Ray, if you even look at traditional radio, there's very little news. Used
right.
to be we was coming up, you'd always get a 2-minute or 5-minute news piece
right.
after every hour or something. There's no news. There's no information whatsoever.
Monopolies on top of that.
Yeah, we don't matter. And I think when somebody said, look, we're going to give you a black president. Now, that's your reparations. Mm-hmm. Go away. That's essentially the way it works out.
And too many people have bought into that.
And they bought into it. And so the black press has to step up and speak to that and say, hold up, wait a minute. Now, we love you, but damn it, we didn't put you there to look cute. We put you there to get something done.
You can hardly find an institution more important than the Supreme Court of the United States. And, you know, this president has had two opportunities to appoint African-Americans to the Supreme Court. People will come up with all kind of excuses for why it hasn't been done. The bottom line is it hasn't been done and the opportunity was there. And so in this term, if there is a vacancy, we African-Americans have to demand that that next appointment to the Supreme Court goes to an African-American, because the only person of color who is currently on the United States Supreme Court is Clarence Thomas, who doesn't like himself, who doesn't like his family, his mother or his sisters. I mean, he has criticized, castigated his own family members, you know, calling his own sister a welfare queen. And so, yeah, and then doesn't say anything. I mean, whatever Scalia says is what he believes in.
In fact, he goes to the right of Scalia.
Oh, it's terrible.
But on that point, going back to Frederick Douglass, power concedes nothing without a demand.
Right.
We're not demanding, and so he's doing what he wants to do. La-di-da is okay.
Well, I guess he figures that since you ask for nothing, you want nothing. Therefore, he has to do nothing, and that's what we've gotten so far, nothing.
That's unfortunate, and that's why we have to train our young people, our young professionals, to know that they have a responsibility, that you know, they don't have to be urged and convinced on a daily basis. They ought to walk in the room knowing what their responsibilities are and not be afraid to speak up on behalf of black people.
And Greg, that's a great opportunity for your young people that are coming into the prevention programs that you have to expose them not only to the work of our higher education institutions and the opportunities there, but maybe, Senator, it's an opportunity for them to be exposed to the Progressive Leadership Academy and the Institute. And that way we're showing these young people in primary and secondary schools their ability to be these young people when they reach that age of maturity.
Right.
Well, Senator Tavares, we've already connected with the Progressive Leadership Academy, and in fact, they sent a group of their program participants out, and they volunteered at our organization for about 4 months last year, working with the kids in the after school. And so we're just really excited about the work that they're doing, the leadership skills that Senator Miller is imparting, you know, in the business community. And I do want to add my 2 cents about the Columbus African American Journal. I think it is just a wonderful, wonderful format.
Thank you, Greg.
It's just, they just do a great job, and I'm so proud of the work that Senator Miller and his staff are doing.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Senator Miller. Information is power. Use it.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Radio, the way it should be heard.